the Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
You can put it on the board.
Woo!
What's up, everybody? We are back here for another Midwest Swing Podcast and simulcast coming at you here from my office at home. Twins just finished up an 8-1 loss to the Cleveland Indians. A tough start for Nick Turley coming out and allowing 8 earned runs in 4 2/3 innings. And so it's obviously not the greatest of starts to the series. Twins now leading by 1 game with 2 games left in the series. So we'll see what happens here the rest of the way. But I did promise some people, I know Brandon, one of the regular people that's on the chats, as well as Mitchell Widmire, who I do a radio hit with on Fridays in, I want to say it's Albert Lee. I promised him that I would do one of these earlier ones. So cool to obviously be able to do this a little bit earlier than usual. Hearing some people reporting up possibly as many as 3 roster moves after this game, I feel like that's pretty consistent with what's out there as far as potential moves. I don't know what those moves will be. Obviously, Wilk as the 26th man is going to be the obvious move as far as the one that's already accounted for. I think that there's a chance 2 other arms could come up as well, whether it's bullpen arms or what. I don't know for sure, but it's going to be interesting to see if Alan Bucinich is one of those. I think he's a guy who deserves a chance. I think that, there's a few other guys that obviously deserve a chance as well, both off and on the 40-man roster. So they can get pretty creative as far as moving Phil Hughes to the 60-day DL, which I suspect could be part of the deal. But if they are going to bring up anybody else, they might have to designate somebody. So it's going to be a little weird to listen to this back on the podcast tomorrow and have those moves already out there. But hey, we're live on Periscope and that's just the way things work. Bucinich. Okay. I always said it was Bucinich. Okay. Bucinich. I appreciate the message from Bethany Carter on Twitter. Hopefully it matters first and foremost, right? Hopefully he's one of the guys coming up. So we'll see what happens. He's obviously been extremely good at AAA Rochester this year. And definitely deserves the chance to deserves a chance to come up. So we'll see what happens there. Again, if you are just joining us for the first time, or if you haven't heard me say it before, if you want to ask me questions, and I invite you to do that at Brandon_Warren on Twitter. I keep the monitor up here on the screen so that I can actually see them. You see, when the questions come up on the app here, I don't see them for long enough to remember them and process them and go through what I'm saying as well. So you can, of course, feel free to leave questions on the app, but if you want to get them answered in a timely fashion or to make sure that I see them, please send them to me on Twitter so I can see them. It's probably the most enjoyable part of doing this podcast/simulcast is that you guys drive the content, and it helps make it more engaging because it's things that you want to hear about. So without further ado, the first question from today was Matt Liefeld wondering why Adam Wilk for tomorrow. And honestly, they don't really have a lot of options. The AAA rotation is pretty ravaged in that, the Wheeler trade the Wheeler DFA and trade was part of it. Otherwise, it's like Johan Pino and David Hurlbut and Chris Hastenuga outrighted off the 40-man today. And so, Johan Pino. Guys you're not going to bring up. And so you've got to bring up Wilk, who has some big league experience and can easily be added to the 40-man roster and perhaps, as importantly, can be taken right back off if they feel the need to after the fact, but can also be optioned if they keep him on there. It's not an ideal situation, but they're not going to bring up Felix Jorge or anything like that, or Fernando Romero. They're not going to add Steven Gonsalves, nothing like that. So it's pretty much the only chance that only choice they have, as disappointing as that sounds. But when people are injured and when your AAA rotation is not particularly good, those are kind of the things that would happen. Again, Adam Oak, not perfect, but if you're going to start him against a team like the Indians, it makes sense because they've struggled against left-handed pitchers this year. Didn't happen tonight, of course, against Turley, but I don't know. The data, I believe it was an 88 weighted runs created plus or something like that against lefties this year. They're bottom third in the league. So it's not a good matchup, but it's pretty much the only choice they have. I did see a take out there. Why not Tyler Duffy and why not this and that? Well, Tyler Duffy's not stretched out. He hasn't thrown more than 30 pitches in forever. So, somebody that said it was poor management or brutal management for the Twins not to put Tyler Duffy in the rotation is just it's just hilarious because he's not anywhere close to ready to help them, and he's he kind of is who he is. I think his bullpen role is where he's going to stay, maybe permanently. I don't know. So we'll see. But again, Adam Wilk is obviously not the Adam Wilk is not the preferred endorsed starter from this side of things. But I'm sure the Twins are in the same boat. Obviously, they would prefer not to have to go to him. But think about if they didn't have Wilk, who would be starting? It would be even worse. So the doubleheaders kind of throw a wrench into things. It's going to be interesting too to see what these moves are because I suspect they will leak out of the clubhouse here in the next few minutes while we're hopefully still on the air. And I don't know. Hopefully there'll be a 40-man move or two to make things interesting as far as getting some guys up that we haven't seen before. I don't know about you guys. I always like to see people I haven't seen before, whether it's a John Curtis type, Trevor Hildenberger, Alan Buznitz, whoever. So hopefully it's some interesting arms. I don't think they can bring Wimmers back yet. And that would not be a terribly interesting move to me, just personally, but it's not up to me either. So if you are in the chat room and want to ask questions, please send them to me on Twitter at Brandon_Warren. And we'll get them answered. I'm going to try to stay on for about 20 minutes here. We try to do that because anything longer gets difficult to upload to YouTube. In case people are wondering, what I do is I record these videos on Periscope. It saves to my camera roll on my backup iPhone. I upload it to YouTube, pull the audio from YouTube, drop it into Audacity, and boom, that's a podcast. It's actually pretty easy, and you guys actually make it worthwhile because of all the content that you give me in terms of stuff to talk about. So I see Mitchell Widmeyer has checked in. Appreciate that very much. He's the reason we're going early tonight. I wanted to make sure that he'd get a chance to check out the program and ask a question or two if he's got one. So we'll see what he's got to say there. I do suspect that Nick Turley might get sent back to Rochester after tonight's game. I don't blame them at all. I do think there's quite a bit to like about his arm, but I don't know that right now the results are where they need to be. And if they're getting closer to getting somebody back, as far as maybe a Hector Santiago situation, then it might make more sense to get a fresh arm up here in the meantime, juggle some things around. I know they have one off day here coming up before too long that maybe they can move some things around too to make it work and get maybe even Turley back up here before he has to start again. So they'll get creative here in the short term, I'm sure. So, yeah, Adam Wilk tomorrow in the first game against Ryan Merritt, and then Adalberto Mejia against Mike Clevinger in the second game. I will be at Target Field all day long. So it's going to be probably somewhere between 12 and 14 hours at the ballpark, which is, I'm certainly not complaining, which is, it's better than working. Couple things I wanted to touch on. Ryan Pressly looked really good tonight, 2 strikeouts and 2 scoreless innings. And so it's just, I think it's going to be a good bounce back for him as well. And I think he's going to get back in the mix eventually as far as one of their preferred late inning guys. And hopefully he can start pitching like he has at his peak. because it's been certainly a rough road. I do see Mitch Widmeyer saying too many first pitch fastballs for Turley. Yeah, I think the biggest issue for him tonight was locating the breaking ball. Either he was breaking it off too early and it was outside the zone with no break, or else he was burying it, not finding the in-between as far as a release point. And so to that end, you know, if he's reliant on a fastball, no matter how hard he throws or how well he locates that fastball, it's not going to be it's not going to be effective. Matt Liefeld wants to know, was Wilk not DFA'd? Pretty much released, that's why I'm confused on him. Wilk was designated for assignment and cleared waivers, was outrighted to AAA Rochester. Because it was his first outright, it was not his first. I believe it was his, the Twins claimed him on waiver, so I think it is his first outright. And so he could not refuse the assignment. And then, now this time around, they're purchasing his contract again. That's why they outrighted Chris Heston. And now, when they designate Wilk the next time, Wilk will be able to refuse an assignment if he so chooses, which it depends on the player, depends on the agent, which I don't know. We'll see what happens. Brandon Perman says, no Escobar tonight was puzzling. Don't you ride the hot hand? Yeah, I thought it was an interesting decision. I mean, again, day-to-day lineups, I don't get as much wound up about, because you do have to get guys playing time, all season long. You can't just strict platoons. You can't, it's not always going to be a lineup you 100% agree with. But I thought Escobar would be in there at short, or maybe at second with Dozier DHing. I don't know. I thought it made sense to get him in there. But Molitor, I guess, had told the press tonight that he didn't think one day off was going to be too much to jar the hot streak that Escobar's been on. So he wasn't too worried about interrupting anything like that. So I think he'll be back in there tomorrow, obviously at least for one game, if not both. But it's going to be interesting, because if any of these infielders, I saw Seth Stowe speculate if Adrianza or Vargas are safe. Vargas has options, Adrianza does not. So I don't think they're going to DFA Adrianza, who's been obviously very good at short. But I don't know. We'll see. Because I think that it makes sense to make some moves to get pitchers up here. But I'm not DFAing Adrianza. You could send out Vargas if you're not going to play him all that often. That might make some sense, but I don't know. We'll see. I suspect Twitter is going to leak these moves here very quickly. And again, if we're still on the air, I'll mention them as well, because I do have TweetDeck up here as well. So again, if you have questions, please feel free to ask them. Joe, so it looks like roster moves will be announced tomorrow. So there must be some notification. There must be some kind of late moves. Rhett Bollinger just tweeted that it doesn't sound like there'll be moves made tonight yet. Well, anyway, so it'll be interesting to see tomorrow when we show up to the park who's there and who's not. Which, I'm going to be there for, like I said, the whole doubleheader. So check the lineup card, see what it says, and go from there. But I got a sense that there's going to be a lot of moving pieces as far as who's coming and who's going as far as target field here in the next, 12 hours? Yeah, by 10:30, the clubhouse will be open tomorrow, and we'll see what happens. Anybody else have any questions? Obviously, it's been a pretty slow night as far as questions. Took some heat over my Nick Turley takes, which I can live with. I don't really care about that. I do think that the arm is very talented, and if he's got to be a reliever, then that's just the way it's going to be. If he can't locate, or if he doesn't have a good enough breaking ball to locate regularly, then that's just the way it's going to be. Mike Berardino says he's hearing that Alan Buznitz is coming up, so that's an interesting bit of news, I guess. It probably means that Phil Hughes would go to the 60-day DL to make room for that move, and you'd probably have to send out Turley. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's a pretty good move. Buznitz has obviously been very, very, very good for AAA Rochester, and he deserves that chance. Second piece coming over in the Alex Meyer and Ricky Nolasco deal, coming back with Hector Santiago, and I think it's going to be interesting. Brandon Perman wants to know, do I spend a lot of time in the clubhouse, and how is the vibe compared to last year? I mean, relatively speaking, I mean, we go into the clubhouse 3:30 on a 7 o'clock game. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock game, I'll probably get there about 9:30 or 10. It's not really what I would consider a lot of time in the clubhouse, but it's probably like an hour before the game that we spend in there, and then probably anywhere from a half hour, 20 minutes to a half hour after the game. The vibe is pretty good. After losses, it can be pretty quiet. After wins, it can be pretty. After wins, it can be pretty loud. So it's definitely better though. Chris Jimenez was talking to me about that in my first podcast with him, the Keeping Up with the Catcher that was up 2 weeks ago. Said he just loves the vibe in the clubhouse, which is good. It seems like the young players understand or are starting to learn how to handle wins and losses versus all that sort of thing. Seth Stowe seems to think that Alex Wimmers is coming up too, so that's what he just tweeted, if that's the other move, so Buznitz, Wimmers, and Wilk, that's I don't know, it seems a little underwhelming to me, but they probably don't want to make too much headway on the 40-man roster. I'd have to look and see when Wimmers was sent out. If he's coming up for a DL stint, he could come back in quicker than 10 days, whereas if he's coming up just as a straight call-up, I don't know if he's been down there for 10 days yet. So we'll see what happens. Mitchell wants to know, were you expecting to see Jimenez on the bump late with the score and doubleheader tomorrow? I was kind of expecting that, but I wonder if it's got to be a 10-run deficit or something for Molitor to do that. But I also think he probably doesn't want to overdo it because, honestly, as fun as it is, six times this early in the season, it's kind of ridiculous, too. And I don't know that Molitor necessarily sees a ton of humor in it as much as it is just try to take pressure off guys. And so, as much as we enjoy it from a whimsy standpoint, I don't think he enjoys it from a competition standpoint. So, I don't know. We'll see. I think he'll probably get to throw, he'll break the record of seven, I think. That's only two more appearances here in the last 3 months of the season. But I think the preference is for him to not throw as much as he has because, again, as much fun as it is, it's not fun for the team. But we'll see. How Glenn Perkins is doing at Fort Myers. Last I saw, he had thrown a simulated game on, Monday he threw a simulated game and then was slated to throw an inning and extended here maybe even today or tomorrow. But as far as how soon he could be seen at All-Star break, it'd definitely be after the All-Star break. August 1st would be like the earliest, I would guess. And I don't think it's reasonable to have expectations that he's going to come up and help this team in any shape or form. He was sitting 86 to 89, though, which is, I don't know. I mean, that's progress. I think he was even lower than that 2 weeks before when he threw that simulated inning to Jimenez. So, who knows? If he gets over, he could maybe help them. And from there, that's just kind of, see where it goes from there. All right, so it looks like, Wimmers is going to be on the way. It looks like Buznitz is on the way, and Wilk probably is already here. So that's probably going to be the moves. Again, not super exciting, but Buznitz is going to be really fun to watch. And it's going to be interesting to see what the moves are in terms of whether it's in terms of somebody getting DFA'd, DL'd, or if it's just some paper moves that open some spots up. It looks like I'm having some issues with the video feed here, so we're just going to call it for tonight. I do want to say thank you, though, for checking out the Midwest Swing video podcast, Midwest Swing Live, and the simulcast. Kind of a low-energy show tonight, and I do apologize for that. We'll try to pick it up here with the next one here early next week and have some fun with that one. Anyways, Peace.